when you fight so hard for a policy, and it's so important to a party, and to get this done, and you run campaigns on it, you get elected on it,
mm-hmm.
and then you go to try to fix it and make it work, then you can't get it done because of the other side, whether it's the Democrats on one side or the Republicans on the other.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's the Democrats are going to stop it.
Yep.
So in order to get it done, you're going have to have fewer Democrats or have Democrats that would, okay, I get it, you know, let's do this. But that's what this base wants. They want those kind of changes. And it's what frustrates leadership is that, you know, we can elect good people and then we can put them up there, but then we have to deliver.
No, I'll tell you just a very quick story.
And you probably know that about anybody.
Well,
because of your work with
the
association. Yeah.
Absolutely. And also personal history. So, I grew up Republican and conservative and voted that way. And I remember, growing up in San Antonio,
right.
My dad would always tell me, vote Republican, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, right.
And
then
so,
you met a girl who was
a Democrat. That's right. It's a conservative Democrat.
No, go ahead.
Didn't turn me.
No. Okay.
I love her, though. But it's interesting because I asked him one day, I really wanted to know. I said, wow, what made you Republican? Because as I got older, like, I got to, you know, I really need to be more, not just vote Republican, but I agreed, but I wanted to understand his process. So he's only a first-generation American. His parents came over from Mexico, as did my mom's, legally, went through Arizona, went through Texas, right?
Right.
They became citizens very quickly. I think they're probably easier back then to become a citizen, but they went after it, right? And they always voted Democrat. FDR.
Sure.
Everybody was Democrat. And then it got a little more conservative, and then they kept voting Democrat, Kennedy and so forth. And it was about the time in the 60s, from what my dad was telling me, that when things started to change, family values started to fall apart, the nuclear family started to be pulled apart, that he decided that it was the Democrats that were pulling those things apart and were sort of interfering in, your family and patriotism and work ethic and all these things.
Religion.
Sure. And it's so important to particular Hispanics, and that's what really turned him, because I always thought it was because, he became he sort of did it on his own, became a dentist, and I thought it was because he was starting to make more money. I really did. I really did. So I asked him, he goes, No, it didn't have anything to do with that. And I think that's the real key, is that understanding that the Valley Democrats turning more conservative, because it is all about those things.
Well, Republicans have been saying this for a long time, that Hispanics really have more in common with the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
Than the Democrat, because they're strongly religious in the Catholic faith, most of them.
Yep.
They're against abortions,
yep.
Most of them. They're pro, very strong family, strong yep. work ethics.
Strong work ethic. Very entrepreneurial.
Want an opportunity. Don't want anything handed to them. Want a chance.
Yep.
And that's what the Republican Party is all about. And so, there are pieces of it that all kind of changed to some degree, but that's okay. There's room for, difference. But that's the basic of it. You're starting to see that make a difference now with what's going on with what Biden's doing to the border and to the oil and gas industry. There's a lot of Hispanics who work in the oil and gas industry in the Valley.
Yeah.
You're looking at what Biden's doing to and what the Democratic Party's doing, and they're going, wait a minute, I'm going to be out of a job here in a few years.
They are tearing up everything. I don't even understand what they're doing, to be honest with you, because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You've got, most of the Hispanic businesses are small businesses. They work around the oil industry. They work around all these industries. There's so many, and that's just part of the culture, right?
Sure.
And everything that the Biden administration is doing right now is tearing that apart. Just ripping it apart. I do not understand it.
It's almost, and it's probably not fair, but it's almost like he's got a Texas bias.
Well, yeah.
Texas, you think you're so great. Okay, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to open up the border. And what else I'm going to do? I'm going to destroy the oil and gas industry. I'm going to, like he said publicly, end fossil fuels. I'm going to end fossil fuels. Well, I mean, you Texans hear that and they go, wait a minute, you know. I mean, there's other things, you know, that he said about that Texans are going to go, whoa, I
100% agree. I feel like it. I feel like it's personal.
Yeah, exactly.
I do. I feel like it's personal. It's kind of like like if we had a dam, you know, going, you know, down on the border from Mexico and there was, you know, the ocean on the other side. It's like he took, you know, explosives and blew the dam apart so that it would flood Texas.
Right.
And didn't even think twice about it and won't fix it, you know.
And of course, what Abbott's done with, you know, moving folks around the country. I mean,
that was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's
brilliant.
Puts it right in front of them, like, okay, you're a sanctuary city, here you go. And, you know, with
3,000,
they go, whoa, wait a minute, we've had enough of this. Well, how about hundreds of thousands? How about millions, you know? I mean, it's unbelievable what's been going on the last few years.
Yeah.
I've never seen it ever, and I've been around for, you know, a long time. You know, it's never been this bad.
It doesn't make sense, David. Yeah. I think that's you're right. You know, being around this, you know, politics, you know, you get it when people have to do this. They move this way. They, you know, they maybe change their views and all those kinds of things happen. But this sort of I just think it's an attack on the state of Texas.
I agree.
And I think when Abbott said, you know, when he delivered what Biden had done to these, you know, to these sanctuary cities, I think they finally woke up, and now you've got these people sending National Guard units to try
and telling Biden to fix it, you know.
And he won't.
And he can't.
He still won't.
At this point.
He won't even fix it. He won't even fix those cities or those states. I don't, that makes no sense to me.
So, I mean, it's
good for Republicans.
There's one issue that could get Trump reelected. It's probably that issue.
Yeah.
Because everybody in these other states are figuring it out. I mean, when Trump was president, it was under control. I mean, you know, it was.
Absolutely.
No denying it.
Yeah.
Nobody can deny it.
Yeah.
And when Biden came in, he unleashed it and took it apart. And now we're seeing what happened. And that's, you know, it's going to take somebody, a Republican, and it looks like it's going to be Trump.
Yeah.
That if he's our nominee, which it looks like he is going to be, and he is, he can fix it. He knows how to fix it.
So he's fixed it before. He can fix it again.
And he'll have Abbott to help him and Patrick to help him and others in Texas.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's going to be one of the bigger issues. I hope it is because it's so important. You know, it's sad for these families too. They come over here and then they have such a hard time, you know, because
exactly
they're not doing it the right way. So they have to.
Well, it's cruel. I mean, I actually know some people I didn't know he was married to this lady, and she had come over years ago. And now she's like, you know, she's always hiding, and I'm like, what an awful way to live, you know. And it's not fair. It's not right to the people. And the, you know what I like, and I guess I appreciate this, is that people haven't sort of turned on, other than the criminals. I mean, there's some scumbags that have come over, but other than the criminals, people haven't turned on the Hispanic community, thinking that it's. They know where it's coming from.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, you open up the border, people are going to come over that are coming from places that they.
I mean, we've always had such a great relationship with Mexico and, you know, with our border states. I mean, it's, you know, every governor we've had that's had great relationships with border governors. And, you know, it's just not the same anymore. It's just sad.
Do you think, I mean, it's not really an issue. I mean, for Texas, I mean, we all kind of feel the same way. I think that almost universally. But in this next legislative session, you know, we're going to be dealing with the, you know, the issue of school vouchers, which has really been a huge deal. Now, it's a huge deal in Texas. It hasn't been a huge deal in a lot of other states. For, you know, they've.
Well, that's not uncommon for things that are important to Texas. Not important to some other states.
Yeah, that's true. But that's okay. Yeah.
Which state's growing the fastest, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, you know, I think after this last primary, you know, I think because of the primary, we had six incumbents that lost.
Well, there's still runoffs, too.
And that's what I was going to say. And then there's like, four or five runoffs.
Or more. Yeah.
And the Speaker of the House is in a runoff.
No, right.
But, you know, I think what happens next session is... I just don't see I don't know. I mean, you don't ever really know until it's happened. But
right.
I think it's going to be so difficult to get anything done next session.
Well, it's going to be a challenge. We'll see how things. That hopefully it's not, but you know, it's, you know, we'll see. I'm optimistic, and I think that maybe people will learn a lot from this election cycle, and maybe people have different philosophies about how they should, you know, what they should do and how they should vote and where their loyalties are, and you know, what their base really wants, and how can they and should they help their base. And I think there's sort of that sort of thing going on right now with office holders, especially House members. And you know, I think you'll see some come back around and say, okay, you know, I need to go back to the base. I need to work with the base, and we'll see, maybe. But you know, it really, to me, it just it just seems like there's a lot of opportunities to make it both work, school choice and this robust school system.
Yeah.
I mean, most everybody wants that. Nobody wants to destroy the public school system.
No. I mean, I think that's just a talking point.
It's a bogus talking point.
It is.
So you just got to figure that out. And some of these smaller towns that say, well, some of these smaller town legislators, Republicans that, you know, feel like they have to do what their school board's on. Well, you know, charter schools will come. Private schools will come to those places.
Yeah.
It's not, if they're not there, they will come. But there's still a way to do both. And I'm a product of public schools. Nobody wants to see it destroyed. It just parents should have that choice. They should have that opportunity.
Well, they have the opportunity. You know, if you live in an area where, you know, I'm a product of private school, military schools, and I wasn't a behavior problem. I just wanted to make sure. I want to get that on the
record. You just wanted a sword, right?
Yes, yes. I just wanted the epaulets. but my boys, my two boys are products of public school. Yeah. But they had a good public school in the district we lived in. But that's not everywhere. So if your child has a sort of special education needs, you know, and they don't take care of that properly at that particular school district, why shouldn't you be able to move?
Right.
And it's funny when you explain to people what it means, they all agree.
Sure.
But if they listen to the talking points, then they think, oh my God, they're trying to tear down the public school system.
Destroyed, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. But to your point, though, about the session, it could be what you're thinking. It could be a tough session, but it also could be that maybe there's some folks that have decided, okay, let's make this work.
You know? Yeah.
And it's because it's what, you know, most Republicans want. Even Republicans that voted against choice still think it's what they want. They just felt like they couldn't do it in their districts.
Yeah.
You may see some changes there. And I think if anything, you know, you're a lot closer to this than I am from a policy standpoint, but if anything does bounce out that was very hard during the last session, I think it could be school choice because of what we've seen happen, but we'll see.
That makes sense. So who wants to go through that again?
There'll be a whole different spotlight on it this time, but we'll see. But there's just all about what happens in the House. You know what's going to happen in the Senate, so it's all about what happens in the House. So.
Yeah, well, then it's been that way for a while.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, well, it's kind of been this way really since Strauss became Speaker, you know, because of the dynamics of how he was elected, right. You know, and the collaboration between some Republicans at the time and the Democrats, and to put Strauss in place, and I think that started a lot of the what was happening, you know. And I think I don't know for a fact. I'm trying to think if there were Democratic chairs prior to under Craddock, and I can't remember, to be honest with you.
There probably were.
It probably were, but I don't know if that was a practice that they still do. I know they make a big deal about that, but I don't know if that held things up or not. But I know that when you have, you know, when you have such a small majority,
right.
Well,
you know when you fight so hard for a policy, and it's so important to a party, and to get this done, and it's you run campaigns on it, you get elected on it,
mm-hmm.
and then you go to try to fix it and make it work, then you can't get it done, because of the other side, whether it's the Democrats on one side or Republicans on the other.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's the Democrats are going to stop it.
Yep.
So in order to get it done, you're going have to have fewer Democrats or have Democrats that would, okay, I get it, you know, let's do this. But that's what that's what this base wants. They want those kind of changes. And it's what frustrates leadership is that, you know, we can elect good people and then we can put them up there, but then we have to deliver. And right. And it's so frustrating. I see it as, you know, being part of teams, campaign teams, and working with that. It's so frustrating for these elected officials not to be able to deliver what it is that got them in office, the issues that got them in office. And that's why you see that edge to trying to win these elections.
Yeah,
because that's important, and it should be. That's why I say elections have consequences.
That's the process.
If we win these, then that's what's going to happen. You know, we're going to get school choice. That's what happens, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to get some of these things done that they haven't been able to get done. I know it's harder in the House because there's more members, but that is where, you know, it needs to change. And I think you'll see that, but it's going to be fun to watch, though, huh?
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have a school choice client. I think it's going to be real interesting once we get to the stage where we actually get all of the people that the elections are done.
Right.
You know, we start seeing about who's going to be chairman, who's all those kind of things as they shake out. Those are really interesting. I'm going to try to cover that, you know, as we get closer.
Yeah,
but. This has been great.
It's been fun.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, it's a kind of thing that I really are, you know, listeners and viewers, you know, are asking about. They want more. They want more of a little bit more of this background like this. And so we're spending a lot of time, sure, you know, getting people like you that have, yeah, you know, this wealth of knowledge that can help, you know, them understand the process. Because otherwise, when they don't understand it, they stop. They don't want to vote. They don't want to do anything.
Sure. Well, and you know, it's when you think about it, there's a whole generation out there that have never known anything but Republican leadership.
Yeah, that's right.
There were Democrats in office. Really, they actually
we were on
leadership. You know, and they go, they just don't get it. They go, no way. You know, because they've just grown up seeing this. Now they're not older, but they're, yeah, a generation that have just been under Republican leadership, so they have no real knowledge,
yeah,
of what it's like when we had, you know, when the Democrats were in charge. And
yeah,
to me and you, wasn't that long ago, but yeah, it was, but time flies. But that is an interesting, you know, issue.
I want to ask you one last question, because when you said that, it just reminded me. So, you know, I have, you know, my boys are 25 and 20, and they're right in that age bracket where mine don't do it that much, but I know a lot of people get their information from social media and, you know, podcasts like this. But, you know, there's a lot of junk out there. And so you got a lot of the, you know, kids in college that are looking at stuff that are giving them the wrong impression about everything. And then they start to hate Republicans and they start to, you know, call them names, and there are all kinds of, it gets crazy. So I was wondering, have you had to change the way that you do your communications based on social media, or are you still predominantly?
Yeah, we're message driven. We.
You know, I mean, you don't use different media to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so yeah,
I don't do it myself, but I provide content.
Okay,
I don't do social media.
Okay,
you know, I could, but I just don't.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean. Well,
specialty.
Yeah, but
fusion specialty.
But I work with specialists that do.
Yeah,
but the product they need, I provide. So the content is still there. The messaging content that I provide, and other consultants, media consultants provide, will go into a,
whatever platform
you want it to.
Okay.
And sometimes it has to be edited in a way that it fits that platform. And we often do different versions of an ad or a video that to fit a certain medium, you know, and especially texting that because it's so compressed. And
yeah.
But yes, all of those, you know, this is when cable first came out, cable TV.
Yeah.
You know, I was buying
cable. They kept
poor cable. Yeah. But anyway, so nobody would buy it. Because it was, nobody knew anything about it, right? It's like social media was a few years ago, yeah. The internet was a few years ago. Nobody would buy it because they didn't know enough about it. So cable was out there, but nobody would buy it. Well, I started buying it. I was one of the first consultants to buy cable.
Oh.
And I'd get, you know, beat up about it. I said, well, number one, it's cheap. It's like cheaper than radio. Number two, it's a frequency. It adds frequency to your buy. People say, well, cable, you know, you just flip around, you get another, yeah, but if you see that ad once and you see it, and then you see it the second time, you only see it for 10 seconds, you'll go, oh, that's that, you know, ad, I remember.
Yeah.
And it's what we call frequency. You may not see the whole ad, but you'll see a frequency of messaging that adds up. And I saw that happening in cable. So that's why I embraced, you know, social media so much, because this allowed us to get a different demographic.
That's right.
It allows us to go younger in demographics, and it gave us the opportunity to get more frequency and more reach out there. And what we do as consultants with our product, whatever ad it is we may have on the table. So yeah, I'm a big fan of it. And but there needs to be some policing, and it gets kind of,
yeah, I think so too. But it's not going to go away. That's the thing, is that it's another avenue. And if that one went away, another one will come up,
yeah.
You know? So, but you just have to, you know, embrace it and learn how to work with it,
With it and use it to where it's effective. And, so anyway, but that's what's happening now. And it's been an interesting journey to see all this happen, you know?
Yeah.
But it's been fun. Appreciate you asking me.
Absolutely, man. I hope we can do this again later on. You know, as we get closer to the session, maybe we'll do a new one.
General election, maybe.
Yeah, general election would be a big one.
Somebody talk about political history. I can do that.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll do that too. I love it. I love to be able to provide something that you can't get anywhere else. Right. I mean, it's hard to find a book or any of these things on those kinds of inside stories.
There are few, but not many.
And they're not good. So.
Yeah, and they're biased, or they're, you know, they have some slant to them.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, the books I've seen that I was involved in, campaigns or issues, they're so slanted. You don't get the full story.
No.
So, but yeah, but anyway, but that's just a way.
Well, let's plan on that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Good, Frank.
Thanks, David.
Good
to see you too.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of State House. You can find this podcast anywhere you find your podcast today. If you like our program and you want to see more, please subscribe. Like it, share it with others, and we really appreciate, if you like it, to give us a 5-star review. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.